Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, January 2nd. This is the Women's Gemara Shir. We're doing Sugyot and Masecha Sukkah, continuing the Sugya of Osek B'mitzvah Patam and Amitzvah. Okay, Rabotai. We are continuing the Sugya of Osek B'mitzvah Patam and Amitzvah. And tonight, the focus will be about the conflict between Talmud Torah and an opportunity to perform another mitzvah. In other words, does the rule of Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, which applies to virtually every other positive command, that if I'm doing mitzvah A, I am exempt from mitzvah B under the circumstances that we've documented up until now? According to some, not only exempt, you're not allowed to abandon mitzvah A in order to perform mitzvah B, even though mitzvah B might be significantly greater than mitzvah A. The question is, does this principle apply to somebody who's learning? And somebody's engaged in Talmud Torah, it's a mitzvah, a significant mitzvah, and now that individual is exempt from performing another mitzvah because they're busy fulfilling mitzvah A. Or do we say that Talmud Torah is an exception to the rule? That although this rule does apply for virtually all other positive commandments, that if I'm engaged in mitzvah A, I do not have to turn my attention to mitzvah B. If I'm sitting and learning, that is not the case. I may have to stop my learning, as valuable and significant as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is, I might have to stop learning and turn my attention to other mitzvot. That's the topic for tonight. And as of course, there will be lots of different opinions about this particular opinion, about this particular question. So, we start, what would be, as we always do, what would be, survey says, what's your gut reaction? In terms of the question, just, what do you think that Osek B'mitzvah, Patam in HaMitzvah should apply to Talmud Torah? Or should it not apply to Talmud Torah? What would you say, just lich ora, your first blush?
In the davening it says that study of Torah is equal to them all.
Good, so
I would think that you would...
Or apply it.
Putter.
Good. It says, not only is Talmud Torah a mitzvah, but when it enumerates other mitzvot, Bikur Cholim and Levayat HaMeit, and all the others that are listed there, it concludes the paragraph of Elu Devarim Shein Lam Shir V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. So if the Talmud Torah is as significant as Bikur Cholam and Levayat HaMeit and Hashkamat Beit HaMidrash Shachas V'Arvis coming to Shul, so I would... Okay, that's one opinion. Who wants to take the contrarian opinion? Yeah.
On the other hand, if I'm sitting and learning about a particular...
What is the purpose of learning Torah?
Ah.
How do we take that and translate it into everyday life?
Okay.
So that would say that you have to stop what you're doing.
Good. That's the opposite opinion.
Also, you could be learning Torah all day, 24/7 almost, so that you never do any of it.
Okay.
Is there let's
assume, is das also gefährlich? A guy who's learning all day, so he's not doing other mitzvahs. He's not wasting his time. He's fulfilling a mitzvah. So he won't do other mitzvah. We could say that. But if you're piggybacking on the Chama said, well, is the purpose in life just to learn, or is the purpose in life to do mitzvot? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Right.
So in other words, the point is you're supposed to go out just from your individual
good
role.
We will, yes, yeah.
Oh, I just said, it also might depend on whether the mitzvah that is presented to you is a time-bound or time-sensitive.
Whoa, that's going to be another opinion. Is there a difference between a conflict between Talmud Torah and a time-bound mitzvah and a mitzvah, which is not necessarily time-bound, can be done at a later time? Or a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else? So we will see. That's going to be a lots of, that's why I said there are a lot of discussion about this issue. Certainly, yeshiva bacharim always favor oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. From every mitzvah on the planet. Yes?
You could always say that about Talmud Torah, that someone else could be learning Torah. You go do the mitzvah.
No, you can't say that because Talmud Torah is a mitzvah incumbent upon everybody.
Isn't that Yisachar
and Zevulun? Okay, yeah, that's Yisachar, this relationship thing, right. But that's because the Zevulun clan said, we're not really cut out for serious learning. And our good friend Yisachar is, so we'll make a pact with them. A lot of serious businessmen who are serious B'nai Torah like to establish Yisachar Zvulun relationships, but the joke is they tell the guy, I'll be the Yisachar, you be the Zvulun. I'll be happy to make such an arrangement with you. I'll sit and learn, instead of working as a lawyer for 20 hours a day, I'll sit and learn all day and you work for me. No problem, I'll be happy to do that. Of course, it's always the other way around. Yeah?
Is there a difference between the Doraita and the
Rabbanan? Okay, that might be another factor to be considered. Excellent. You're getting a hang of it. Good. So let's start with one of the primary sugyot. This is a Gemara Mayit Katan on Daf Tesa Mud Beis, where the Gemara says as follows: Heve Yasve Veha Kamebayelo. They were sitting. It was a group of Talmidei Chachamim, and they raised the following query: Ksiv, it is written. Yikarahi mipninim, Torah is considered more valuable than mazepninim, pearls. V'chol chafotzecha lo yishvu ba, and all of your concerns, the things that interest you, cannot measure up to Torah. So, if you want to know what's more important, going to work or learning. Of course, Talmud Torah is more important. You want to know why is it more important to go to a ball game? Obviously, Talmud Torah is more important. Good. So, first of all, at least today during the Chumash share, they asked me, why are the pagers numbered fire defensive coordinator 1, 2, 3, through 8? So I explained. So I'll ask the Chumash. You were there at the Chumash share.
Christ was asked the same thing. What'd
you say? So, the Giants lost this Sunday, and they lost 5 games this year in the last minute of the game. Last minute of the game. And again, this Sunday, I watched 3 hours just to watch them in the last 30 seconds give up the game on a 4th-and-15, if you know football, for a 55-yard touchdown pass with a minute left. It was crazy. So if they had one defensive stand, when the team had the ball, and they were ahead, they'd have had 5 more wins. They'd be in the playoffs and have a first-round bye. They'd be in the playoffs. Next Shabbos and Sunday, we'd go crazy preparing for the playoffs, instead of finishing with 5 wins and 11 losses. So you have to put the blame on the defensive coordinator. He calls the way you blitz, you don't blitz. So I have 8 source pages. Each one of them is fire the defensive coordinator. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8. That's why we're here.
It's a shame you don't feel strongly.
You're wasting this one.
Okay, but I have to educate you. That's my job. My job. Maybe more important about football than even learning. Maybe. My job.
Mostly know
his quarterback. Okay, yes.
And for Kansas City.
So, yes. So, the Gemara now infers, once the Pasuk states that all of your concerns, Chol Chafotzecha, cannot compare to Torah. Inference. Ha-cheftzei shamayim yishmuba. But to attend to God's activities, that's the equal of learning Torah. And the impression will be, of course, that what should you do if you're engaged in cheftzei shamayim? What do? You abandon your Torah and you go ahead and perform God's mitzvahs. That's one pasuk. Uksiv, and then a second pasuk says, V'chol chafotzim lo yishvu ba. V'chol chafotzim lo yishvu ba. All concerns, all activities cannot equal the study of Torah. Inference, V'afilu cheftzei shamayim lo yishvu ba. Even other activities deemed appropriate and necessary by God, Shamayim, can't measure up to the study of Torah. So which one is it, Rabotai? Is it that mitzvot are on the equivalent level of Talmud Torah? Or is it that only mitzvot are not as important? And Torah outweighs everything? That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara. Kan b'mitzvah she'efshar la'asota yadei acherim. Kan b'mitzvah she'i'efshar la'asot al yadei acherim. So here the Gemara introduces first possibility. Namely, if the mitzvah can be done by someone else under those circumstances, for you, Torah can't compare to any other mitzvah, and certainly not to your personal activities. And you should not stop learning to fulfill a mitzvah that theoretically could be filled by somebody else. So if you have a friend who is in the hospital, and it would be helpful to have somebody visit, you open up your phone, you go to your lengthy contact list, and you contact somebody, you know what? Our good friend needs a visitor. I'm busy learning. Can you please go visit?
That'll
what?
That'll work.
Of course it'll work. We're talking about everybody who loves to do mitzvahs all day.
I was just about to start learning myself.
Okay. We will see whether planning to learn is considered as if you're learning already. There will be a discussion about that. I don't know if we'll get to that tonight, but there is. Yeah. Yes, 100%. You have another sibling who's home, and the pop says, so you call the other kid and say, can you please get father a glass of tea? I'm busy learning. It can be said nicely, doesn't have to be said arrogantly. However, if it's a mitzvah, she'i efshar la'asot al yidei acherim, for example, there is no other sibling home, or there's no other friend to contact, or it's a mitzvah that, quite frankly, has to be done by yourself. Right? Has to be done by yourself.
That's what I was wondering, if you should be pushing it off or doing it.
Right. So, nobody else can do a mitzvah that I have to do. I have to recite the Shema. I have to put on tefillin. Nobody can put on tefillin for me. So under those circumstances, it's e'efshar la'asota al yadei acherim. There the Gemara says, Talmud Torah does not warrant the principle of Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. So all what we call in the halachic lingo, chovat haguf, bodily mitzvot, that have to be done by this person, for all of those, Talmud Torah certainly does not play a role. Does not play a role. And everybody today in the yeshiva world where they're learning, no one ever says, you know what? I'm learning. I don't have to put on tefillin today. They all stop. They daven. They put on tefillin. They read Kriya Shema. They do every mitzvah that's incumbent. They eat matzah on Pesach. They go to Hetkiya Shofar, and they can't use Talmud Torah as learning. When can they use it? if the mitzvah can be done by somebody else. And somebody who is, you know, not looking to serve as arrogant, but this is an argument that they use in relationship to seeking an army deferral. You know, you need me to be in the army? There are plenty of other people who can be in. They're not learning Torah. So why do I have to go? So everybody knows when Ben-Gurion allowed that to take place, there were 350 people. It's now approaching 42,000 people learning in yeshivot. That's a lot of people to ask someone else to serve in your stead. So I'm not saying it works in that case. I'm not saying it works. But that's sometimes an argument that is proposed. So thus far, the Gemara introduces one difference. If it's a mitzvah she'efshar la'asot al yedei acherim, Talmud Torah allows you to engage in the continued study of Torah. So most of the mitzvot that touch upon gemilut chesed will operate on that plane. And then, if it's e'efshar la'asot al yedei acherim, under those circumstances, the person has to engage in that thing. I have struggled. I know this halacha. I've struggled with this for many years. Particularly when I was teaching in Deal, and if there was a levaya in shul, somebody's, let's say, parent passed away. It's not my member who passed away, but it was a child of a parent. I come to the levaya. I do absolutely nothing. I'm not officiating. I'm not singing the kelmole. Nothing. And I had to ask myself a question. I'm giving up teaching an entire day, because once I go to Levaya, it's not 2 minutes away. You know, it's an hour and 15 minute drive there. So if the Levaya is at 12 o'clock, I'm not going down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Fine. Should I say, I'm really sorry for your loss, but I can't come to the Levaya, because I have to teach. I have to engage in Talmud Torah. So initially, that's what I did. And I felt that halachically it's justified not to go to a levaya in order not to give up so much teaching. But certain people felt terribly slighted. Terribly slighted. Even though, like I said, I was not scheduled to do anything. My rabbi didn't come to the funeral. And I realized that what is most important is what you do for people in times of crisis. They don't care about how many great drashot you gave, how many shiurim you gave. That's what means something to them. Even if it's just a little thing that you passed by for 8 seconds, I'm really sorry, you know, and so on. That's all you say. And then you walk in and sit down like a klutz. And that's when I recognize I have to get a little closer to Teaneck than Deal, New Jersey, in order to keep both jobs.
But it's kind of like that's a mitzvah that couldn't be done by someone else because it was relevant to who you were.
Yeah, but what mitzvah? Okay, I'm not being kind the mitzvah of nichum avelim before the burial. In fact, this reception line before the levaya is an American invention of recent years. In European communities, no one ever did that. You came to the funeral, you sat down, the family dealt with it themselves, and then you went to be Menachem Avil.
Did you go to the funeral for the mace?
No. Okay, that's correct. You go for both. So the hespedim are what's called yukra dechayim on behalf of the survivors and yukra de mace on behalf of them. So that's correct. To give a hesped, that's to give the hesped. So if you're giving a hesped, certainly. Even to listen, it's important. What?
To Malava.
Yes, okay, but that's the case. Could it be done by somebody else? They can have 1,000 other people. It doesn't have to be me to be Malava the mace when it's a question of Talmud Torah. So it's a serious issue that people grapple with. Yeah.
I think anything with hesped, though, I don't think one person can be in place of another. Like, I think if you have a parent who's ill or something, I think each child gives something special to that parent, and they, just like your student, felt they want to, it's a kavod to the mace, not a lot of reveyim, that people look at how many reveyim.
Okay, yes.
The same thing with parents with their children. It's like, this son never came, oh, he's busy learning, but And also the things you say, even when you visit someone in the hospital, nobody takes the place of another person. You don't know what you're giving them. And the whole, Talmud Torah is, they always say Talmud Torah, right? Isn't the thing that Talmud Torah leads you to mitzvot? Talmud Torah comes first, even if you don't believe, because it's going to lead you to believe in mitzvot. So if you don't do any of the mitzvot and you're just...
So we're going to get to that in a second. Somebody's going to...
You can replace one person with another.
Correct. So, but then you want to take this Gemara that we just read, rip the page out, and that's not what the Gemara seems to say. The Gemara, I believe, is aware of the fact that each person can make a unique contribution. The Gemara is not undermining that. But nonetheless, if I have to make a decision, and somebody else could be there, then I have a right to say, you don't have to, but I have a right to say, I'm learning. And especially when you're teaching, it's a major concern. It is a major concern. But most rabbanim today will make the decision to come, and you know, because that's the way your job is based on it. And on that, and I said I learned the hard way.
It's also interesting. It's a subjective halakha, and in other words, the halakha is.
Yes.
Which is very unusual.
Correct. I grant you that. It gives us to make the opportunity to make the decision. Mm-hmm. Normally, there are so many areas of halacha which you can see both sides, but the halacha resolves it for us so we don't have to grapple with. It's exactly it. There's so many situations. That's why the halacha is so intricate. Because it takes away the burden of trying to weigh, is this more important? The halacha tells you what to do. End of discussion. End of discussion. But that's source number one. Efshar la'asos al yedei acherim, efshar la'asos al yedei acherim. And I can just say as a postscript, that person, this happened, let's see, I was in deal from this happened 18 years ago. Person still has not said hello to me. Has not said hello to me. I can walk up, say good Shabbos, walks right by me as if I don't exist. Since that happened. Yeah. So, are we having a party tonight?
Parent-child learning, if you'd like some
prizes. Oh, okay. No problem. This is parent-child learning. Okay. That's source number one. Please turn to page FTC number two. On what?
On the person. In other words, it's not just that you're doing something for somebody else, but it always impacts you in some form.
There's no doubt.
But every mitzvah
has an impact. So here, the question is, am I obligated to forego the impact of Talmud Torah and go do that? Here's the Rambam Shita. Halacha Gimel, Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Says the Rambam, Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvot, kulan, shehi shkula keneged Talmud Torah. There is no mitzvah amongst all of the mitzvot that is the equivalent of Talmud Torah. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvot, kulan, shehatalmud mevi lidei ma'aseh. Now this phrase has to be carefully translated and there will be much debate about it. Why is Talmud Torah so great? So, I could have just said, Talmud Torah is great. You know why Talmud Torah is such a great mitzvah? Because it's the most effective way to interact with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aside from davening, if you're not in the middle of davening, when you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what contact do we actually have? What opportunities for contact do we have? We study His Word. Torah is words divinely inspired, divinely authored. So when we engage in studying Torah, I am making contact with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I could have said that and that's it. Yet Rambam, and he's paraphrasing a Mishnah in Masechet Avot, doesn't say that. Why is Talmud Torah the most significant mitzvah? Because a very practical and utilitarian concern. Shehatalmud mevi l'dei masa. Because Talmud already what? It helps facilitate practice. Lefikach ha-Talmud kodem l'masa b'chol makom. Now, is there an inherent contradiction in these words?
Yes.
Good. So tell me what the inherent contradiction is.
The point of Torah is to bring to the...
To Masa. So how can the Rambam 2 seconds later say that what? Talmud is, takes priority over action all the time. And the Rambam knows that there's a little tension. That's why he writes Halacha Dalit. And let's see how the Rambam has resolved it. Well, just give me 1 second. Hayah lefanav asiyat mitzvah v'talmud Torah. If I now have a conflict between the performance of a mitzvah and learning, im efshar la mitzvah lehe asot al yidei achirim, if the mitzvah can be performed by others, lo yafsik talmudo, he should not interrupt his studying. V'im lav, however, if it cannot be done, ya'aseh ha-mitzvah v'yachzor l'talmudo, let him interrupt his learning, do the mitzvah, and then, of course, right after the mitzvah, what do? Don't go out for lunch. Don't grab a movie. What do? You go right back to learning. That's your responsibility. So the Rambam knows that he's put himself in a little bind, highlighting the value of Talmud Torah in light of the fact that Talmud Torah becomes more significant for a reason that's going to undermine my very conflict. What do you mean? I have a mitzvah to do. Yeah.
The way Rambam's phrasing it, though, it, he's almost making a distinction in the kind of Talmud. Because if you say, Shatamud may be with De
Ma'aseh,
you could imply that it's like a how-to. In other words, it's teaching you how to do the mitzvah, but not necessarily Talmud for a mental exercise. In other words, not for...
That is correct. He's saying that. There's no doubt. But I thought you were going to say something very sharp.
Like,
namely, what happened... No, not to... I didn't mean that. So, what happens if I'm learning right now Masechet Menachos? Menachos deals with all the Korbanos Mincha in the Beit HaMikdash. Tell me, and now I have any mitzvah to do, whether I can do it myself, somebody else can do it. If I'm learning Menachos and I study this Rambam, what am I going to do and why?
Do the mitzvah.
Why?
Because there's no maaseh that could come
about. Exactly. There's no maaseh that's going to come about by studying Maseches Menachos. Mm-hmm. Unless I do the fourth parak called Hatcheles. Because that talks about tzitzis and a couple of... So that parak, yes. But if I'm dealing with the majority of the Masechta, or Masechet Zvachim, which deals with Shechita of Korbanos in general, that's not coming, not Ba'ali De Masa. That would be one possible interpretation of this Rambam, and there are many Achroinim, many claim that Rashi himself, we'll see that Rashi believes that. That it depends on what subject matter you happen to be learning. So overwhelming majority of the learning that takes place in the yeshivot today is not Talmud Hamevi L'dei Masa. It is not Talmud Hamevi L'dei Masa. If you're learning with high school kids about Maseches Kiddushin, they're not getting married tomorrow morning. So we're going to teach them all the technicalities of how to engage in engagement? That's not Hamevi L'dei Masa right now. And there are so many other mistakes, learning Bava Basra, about the neighbors, you know, about buying houses.
But this takes away everything how we feel about learning.
No, it's just if there's a conflict.
Yeah, but there's
if there's a conflict.
The other part of it is that there's always going to be conflicts. So you could say that all those other, what it'll be is it'll make it second class citizens.
It'll make
all those things second class citizens.
Yes.
So whenever you have something else that could possibly,
yes.
Oh, your wife wants you to go, you know, grocery shopping, or your husband wants you to do this, so then I'm not going to do it because that's more, I mean, it's somewhat of a mitzvah for whatever. It's going to always be relegated to a lower level. And that's not the way we view our learning, and that we don't give 2 tiers of learning that something. Why do we still learn about Korbanot? Because
it's a mitzvah to learn about them. But if I have to measure up against another responsibility. The other responsibility takes priority now because I'm not learning to further my practice of ritual mitzvot. I'm not.
You said masa, you didn't say ritual mitzvot.
Then what, masa,
well,
what does masa mean?
I think when you learn about carbon out, you're learning certain principles that impact on your life.
Like what? Okay, I'm not saying it doesn't, but if I'm learning about a technical law of shechita, that you know what? If I have the knife against the neck of the animal and I delay for more than 2 seconds, it makes the animal nevela. That's not going to teach me any practical halacha unless I want to be a shochet. But if I'm not going to be a shochet, I will never ever come across with that. Well, all of good parts of Masachas Chulin that they're doing the Daf Yomi now, I'm never going to come across it unless you're a shochet. So that's number one, which people say, that it might depend on what you're learning. If you want to place the premium on Talmud Mevi Lidei Maaseh, that's number one. Talmud Mevi Lidei Maaseh, and now you have to do see what you're learning. So if you're learning Mishnah Brura, if you're learning Shulchan Aruch, then of course you'll continue learning because you're learning how to conduct yourself in a given situation. You're learning Hilchos Shabbos, you're learning Hilchos Yontif, you're learning Hilchos Avelus. Whatever you're learning, it's to know what to do. Yeah, question?
What happens if you're learning Navi or Ketuvim? Like, you're not learning something.
So
you keep talking about Gemaras.
Correct. You're learning Parshat Torah. So if you're learning Nevi'im, it's important to know the history of Am Yisrael, but there is hardly a pasuk in Tanakh that will teach you how to perform any mitzvah. You can't say that learning Sefer Shmuel is maybe l'day masa, other than in an inspirational type of thing, but that's not what we're talking about.
In these times, did people learn halachas because they learned it themselves, or did they learn it in the way that we do in modern times? You know, we don't typically open a Gemara to figure out.
That's correct. That's why the Rambam wrote his Rambam. He said people can't do that.
Okay, but then, because this is really, because you were extrapolating about, you know, modern times in Israel and learning and as opposed to doing mitzvahs, but it's a different kind of experience today in terms of learning. And
right. Most of our mitzvah training is because you mimetic tradition.
Exactly.
You see what's going on.
Exactly.
That's going to be my next point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next one. Some other achronim say, what happens if you're a shomer Torah mitzvahs?
Already.
Yeah. I do everything. I may not know every last detail on the planet, but all of us in this room, basically, you know how to do every single mitzvah that is required of you. Every single mitzvah. So it's when you're coming to learn, you're not coming to learn the details of, you know what? Do I know every detail about Borer on Shabbos? Let me see. Can I flick those pits out of the watermelon or not flick the pit? Basically, you know because you've seen it in your homes and you practice it in your homes. So today, the concept of Talmud Mevili De Maaseh is almost non-existent because we already know it. So when you're a little child and then you're learning for the first time some of the complexity of the halacha, that's fine. But when you're an adult already, certainly, and I'm saying even if not a Talmud Chacham, but certainly a Talmud Chacham, so then every single time that the Talmud Chacham is fighting, is conflicted with another mitzvah, what is he supposed to do? What's he supposed to do? Do the other mitzvah. Because he's not learning to be Mevili De Maaseh, because he already knows what the Maaseh is. And the trend amongst those thinkers are, in the same way that you believe that we can't understand how Talmud Torah can overpower doing another mitzvah, because the purpose of learning is doing another mitzvah. So what do you mean I'm going to learn, and I'm not going to do that other mitzvah? So they said, well, on the other hand, they didn't forget the fact that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So it's a nice theoretical principle to have, that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, it's important. But, reality speaking, halacha lemaaseh, we will rule 99% of the time, do the mitzvah. Why? Number one, this learning is not leading to performance of a mitzvah. Number two, I already know the mitzvahs. What do I have to worry about? Yeah.
I'm still looking at this whole mitzvah a whole different way. Like, I really feel when you learn, I don't know about anyone else in the class, but coming to this class, it's inspirational and it's spiritual, and it leads you to observe better, mm-hmm. even if you know the observance already, because you're understanding the basis behind it. And
mm-hmm.
I think the people who sit and learn probably are at a different level, even of mitzvot. People learn more.
It's hopefully.
It's that masa that they're learning, because we all know the masa, but it's also just leading you to a different level of understanding why we're doing things and the importance of doing things. So I don't.
You're defending them very well.
No, but I don't think masa just. Well, I think learning is. You're always pushing learning. I'm sure.
I know.
The same.
Yes, I do.
It's also a balance.
Yeah,
it's
learning, attention.
It's
attention.
Like, right. Shuvu HaKan. I was just thinking about.
Yeah.
Someone else could do that.
Yeah.
It's not like people.
No, you can't. No, somebody else can't do it because you're not obligated until you see it.
Yeah.
It's not that it's there.
Yeah.
If you see it.
Okay. So what would be a mitzvah? Not bein adam l'chaveru.
Where a bein adam l'makom, where somebody else could have done it.
Mm-hmm. Preparing a menorah? No.
A mitzvah? What? Yeah, building a sukkah. It's not a real mitzvah, but let's assume it is. What? Shechita is not a real mitzvah. You know, you don't have to eat meat. I shouldn't say that too loudly. But you don't have to eat meat. You can eat vegetables your whole life. You don't have to shecht. That's why the Ravid got very angry at the Rambam for counting the mitzvah of Shechita as one of the 613. We have to count to six. Shechita, you don't have to shecht. You don't want to eat meat, don't shecht. So, but I hear you struggle. I hear, yes.
What if somebody says, okay, well, we're a four-cornered garment, then they don't have to put on tzitzis.
Correct. That's true. That happens to be true. Mm-hmm. They don't have to wear tzitzis if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment.
But they are not getting the benefit of.
That is correct. We should strive to perform that mitzvah. But, you know, if in theory that people use that example, if I'm learning and I have to go get a pair of tzitzis to put them on to fulfill that mitzvah, they'll tell you to keep learning because you're not obligated to perform that mitzvah because you're not wearing a four cornered garment. That is
but
correct.
People make judgments about how much time in a day to learn anyway. You know, so you make it. Let's say you want to do something else and not a mitzvah. You make those decisions all the time.
Oh, that's going to be another argument that we will hopefully come across. Namely, we make concessions to our commitment to Talmud Torah for everything in the world. Mm-hmm. And rightly so. You're supposed to go to work. You're supposed to go to work. The Gemara in Brachot quotes a famous debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That famous Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who spent 13 years in a cave with his son and ate nothing but bakser. Nothing but bakser. Rabbi Yishmael said, it says in the Torah, V'yasafta deganecha. We say it every day. What does that mean, V'yasafta deganecha? It means you have to go out and gather your grain. Well, in order to have grain, you've got to plant it and plow and so on and so forth. There's a mitzvah to go out and work. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that somebody who takes his Torah seriously, melachtecha na'aseit al yedei acherim. Someone else will do your work for you. So the Gemara says, harbe osu ki Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai velo hetzlichu. They didn't succeed. V'harbe osu ki Rabbi Yishmael v'hetzlichu. Many people. And that's one of our primary differences between our friends on the right. What is the educational message that we want to communicate to our children? The educational message that we want to communicate is that learning is important. But there is a mitzvah to go out and work every single day of your life. Of course, you have to learn every day too. And you can't say, I'm going to learn Torah and what? You know, all right, you get lucky and you have a rich father-in-law. You know, not everybody's going to be so lucky. But that's the debate. Today, still that very same debate. And in fact, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai belongs to a category, I didn't bring it in the sources, but there is one person, type of person, which the Rambam codes. Correct. Torasso Umanasso. Torah is his profession. I don't know exactly how, it means the only thing he does is learn. Okay, that can include millions of people. A Torasso Umanasso, Nick, is exempt from every single mitzvah. Even mitzvot, which are upon him, even time-bound mitzvot. It belongs to the Rab Shimon Bar Yochai's of this world. Rambam already wrote in his generation, I have never met such a person who qualifies in this category. Never in my life have I seen such a Torasso Umanasso person in my whole life. So,
it would probably be like the Vilna Gaon or something.
Yeah, but the Gaon didn't take it upon himself to consider himself. He did every single mitzvah. He did. Let's move on. I just want to share a couple of other sources. That's the Rambam. Then on page 3, Kesef Mishnah writes, he's a commentary on the Rambam that we just read. Where did the Rambam learn that that if there is another mitzvah that someone else could have performed, you have a right to continue learning? But if the mitzvah could not have been performed, where did the Rambam learn that from? So he claims there's a Yerushalmi in the third parak of Psachim and so on and so forth. Look at the second line where you will see a statement. It's the third word. Nimnu v'gomru be'alias beit nitza belud. There was this attic in the city of Lud, which for some reason was a gathering point of many Talmidei Chachamim. And votes were taking place in that attic. And it's called Aliyah. Aliyah is an attic, second floor an attic, in the house of Nitza. That's the guy's name. And he lived in the city of Lud. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes all of the guidelines of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. When are you allowed to desecrate, and when must you be willing to what? To what? To give your life. So the Gemara there outlines all these decisions made in that attic. That if it's 610 mitzvot of the Torah, and the Gentile says, unless you violate this one, I'm going to kill you, you desecrate. With the exception of the big three. Murder, arayot, and avodah zarah. If, however, the threat is in public, a public threat, there are 10 Jews listening, you have to be willing to sacrifice your life for any mitzvah of the Torah. And if it's a time of religious persecution, even if they ask you to change your shoelaces, the Jews wore black shoelaces and they wore red, if they tell you to put on a red pair of shoelaces at a time of religious persecution, give them Clint Eastwood's line, make my day, blow me away. That's what you're supposed to do. So that was done in Lud. Here there was another decision in Lud. HaTalmud Kodem Lamasa. Talmud always comes before doing a mitzvah. Rabbanan, the Kesarin Amrin, however, the rabbis in Kesaria disagreed with the rabbis in Lud. Amrin, they said, Hadahu detema, when does this happen? Kishiyesha mishi ya'ase ma'ase. Somebody else is around to do it. Avul ein shom mishi ma'ase, shi'ase ma'ase, ma'ase kodem. But if there's nobody else to do it, the action takes priority. So the Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam saw the source and he formulated the halacha accordingly. And according to him, that's the end of all discussion. Someone else can do it. You sit and learn. Somebody else can't do it. You obligate yourself to go ahead and to... And the argument that I could have made a difference... is totally dismissed. totally dismissed. And the question was, in all the yeshivot that were in Israel and Bavel, somebody died. Should we cancel classes and let them come to the Levaya or not? And the Rambam says, you never cancel classes, because somebody else can come to the Levaya. The Rambam takes it literally and doesn't want to be influenced that you can make a particular contribution, you know, and so on and so forth. He doesn't want to hear of that that had been articulated in this classroom.
Mm-hmm. He works as a doctor.
That is, he doesn't say you're not supposed to go to work. He says you have to go to work. But if the question is going to a Levaya or learning, keep learning. Never said stay home. He never said stay home and don't go to work. Rambam learned very long hours, worked very long hours, and often bemoaned the fact that he was working much too long. There's a famous letter that the Rambam published. He says, I just had a horrible day. I started working for the court, the king's court, at 6 in the morning. It's now 11:30 at night. I did something that a doctor should never do. I gave him a prescription without examining the patient. All I did was listen to them. I was just exhausted. So I said, come on in. I had a long line out the door. What's wrong? Okay, here's a prescription. That's all he did. And he bemoans that fact. And he said, I didn't have 5 minutes to learn today yet. So the Rambam knew what it meant. But now we're going to read the Meiri.
That is so interesting.
Yes, he is. He's a very interesting person. This is the Meiri commenting on this Gemara. Afal pisha amru ha'osek b'mitzvah patam min ha'mitzvah ein Talmud Torah b'chlal zeh. Even though we say Osek b'mitzvah patam in ha-mitzvah, I, Meiri, said that Talmud Torah is not to be included. Ela misha ya osek b'torah v'ira ira mitzvah liyado im efsha la'osa mitzvah yedei acherim ein lo levato laleha. If mitzvah could have been done by somebody else, he should not be mevatel Talmud Torah. V'al tishiveni, and don't respond to me, bitu Torah lehotzoas hameis ulahachnasas kala, sha'af heim efshar ba'acherim. Under those circumstances, what should I say? Never leave yeshiva to go to what? To a levaya. Never leave yeshiva to go to where? To a wedding. This question has been raised today. Today, the guys go from Lakewood, Yeda, Muntik, and Dunishtik, they go to a wedding, and they waste the whole night. Says the Meiri, Biro'uila, when it's appropriate that you go, you go. Shehakol tzrichen lahem, leharbos b'chavod. Leharbos b'chavod. Did you hear that? Leharbos b'chavod. Says the Meiri, you can't just have a cut and dry law that somebody else could have been there. That's ridiculous. Sometimes your presence makes a very big difference when it demonstrates a measure of respect for that person. There's nobody who's worthy enough to substitute for you. Elohu. Oshihi mitzvah hamutelus al gufo, kilon lula vishofar vakiburava aim, ukruas meis mitzvah, the makum she'ein lo kovrim, if there's nobody else to vidomeyem, ha mitzvah kodemes, umivato talmud Torah kede lakaima.
It's not really bitul Torah.
What?
The word bitul Torah doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not a correct. It's not bitul Torah, it's part of Torah.
Good.
I don't know. Yeah.
Good. So I'm going to interrupt this Meiri for a second. I want you to see a Gemara and Rashi's words. Go to page number 5 for just a moment. Because here we're going to get something a little closer to what your heart feels. It says, Kol ha'omer ein lo Torah. Anybody who says, I have no Torah. Says, what do you mean? Ein lo Torah. Pshita. If you have no Torah, of course you have nothing. What does that mean? Ella. Kala ha'omer ein lo ella Torah. Somebody who says, the only thing that I have in my life is what? Torah. Says the Gemara, ha'nami pshita. You know, anybody who says, I only have Torah, of course, that's what he has. Torah. Ella de'afilu Torah ein lo. A guy who says, my only concern in my life is to what? To learn Torah. What does Rabbi Yossi say? He doesn't even get credit for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Take a look at the next page. Rashi says that. Rashi says that. Look at the next page. Anybody who says, Ein li ella Torah, I only have Torah, I have no time for anything else, says Rashi, Ein mikabel sachar limud. You don't even get the reward for what? For studying Torah. Now these sources are putting a totally different spin on our conflict. Totally different spin.
But maybe not.
Why not?
Because he's not getting scarred because he's not struggling.
What?
He's not struggling. He's not even thinking about doing other mitzvahs and the choices.
But if you at least you struggle, I could hear, then you would get credit for the Talmud Torah. I could hear that. I could hear that. He doesn't even entertain the struggle. Just says, you know what? There's a I'm putter from everything. Good. I hear. But it certainly introduces a different way of looking at it. That if somebody goes ahead and raises the banner of Torah and say, you know what? The only thing that I'm interested is ainli ella Torah, says Rabbi Yossi, ain lo Torah, says Rashi. He doesn't get credit. Because you're undermining one of the objectives or the primary objective of Talmud Torah. Either to facilitate the mitzvah or what you said, to increase what? Your understanding of a mitzvah. To heighten your awareness of a mitzvah. That's also mevi lidei maaseh. So this is Rashi's statement based on that Gemara. And it gives us an opportunity to look at this particular question totally differently. Not necessarily through the vantage point of a dry, cut and dry statement.
Also,
but, yes.
You know, just by making sure there's that tension built in because you're supposed to get married, you're supposed to approve. Or you already have a family, you already have children.
I am delighted that you decided to mention that, Gemara. Delighted. There is a Gemara in Kedushin where the Gemara raises the question. Somebody reaches the age of marriage and wants to learn. Wants to learn. So what do you do?
That's age 18 though, right?
What? It's 18. At the Gemara's time it's age 18.
Yeah.
We know that it might be a little older. Correct. Even though there are other commentaries that say it begins at age 13. The conflict, when you become chayav and mitzvot. So you have a mitzvah to get married. So there is a question, what should be done? Should I get married? And then the question that you're going to have is, who's going to support my wife? Or should I say, you know what? I'm going to get married. And what question has to be raised then? When am I going to learn? So there is a debate. And the Gemara resolves that by saying there was a difference in practical answering that question between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they answered, you know what? Get married early. Get married early. In Eretz Yisrael, they said, no. Get married late and continue learning. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara's answer. Rabbeinu Tam says it's reverse. I don't want to go into some of the details. But the question was the same question. If I am going to get married and face the responsibilities of marriage, that mitzvah of Talmud Torah is never going to get performed properly. Unless you can assure that somebody's going to be providing. So now the question can be analyzed in the same thing. If I'm learning, do I have to start going out I'm not ready. I want to delay the mitzvah of getting married.
You could say the same thing about having children.
Okay. So that question has a different component to it. Has a different component. There, once you are married already, question is, you're asking a birth control question. Can somebody say, you know what? I want to have children, but I'm not ready to have children. Not ready.
I want to learn more. I don't want that to give up.
So when it comes to answering that I want to learn more, everybody says that's not a valid excuse. Everybody will say that. Because there's a mitzvah to have children. It's like any other thing. Any other mitzvah. Approval is a mitzvah. Why are you delaying it for Talmud Torah? Nobody else can perform that mitzvah for you. Well, then that's saying that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah overrides the mitzvah of getting married or having a child. Having a child. The more prevalent argument that you hear is, I haven't finished school yet, I have to get a job first, and then. So, you know, you go to all the, you know, you can look around. You can look around. So the Rav took a hard line on that. He always said, when you get married, if you were to tell your father and your future father, you know, I'm ready to get married, but I can't accept the responsibility of providing for your wife. What will the father-in-law say to you? Get lost. One of the responsibilities of marriage is to provide for your wife. Well, another responsibility of marriage is to try to have a child. And he was a very hardliner in terms of granting heterim for birth control. But just as when I have a lot of young couples who come to me about that, I say, I know all the halachic literature in that, but the worst possible thing in the world is to bring a child into this world where mother and father are not on board with that child. Not on board. You have to be ready to have a child in order to bring a child into this world. Can't be said, you know what, I don't really want it, but the halacha said so. Can't do that way. Not with a child. So it's a tough question. But that question is asked by the Gemara in Kiddush. Not in terms of having a child, but whether I get married or not. It's the same question. If you analyze it purely halachically. So tonight, what we've seen thus far, we've seen that the Gemara raises the question itself in terms of the value of Talmud Torah. It's at a high pinnacle. It's peninim, worth more than anything else. It might even be worth even more than mitzvot, because the pasuk that is darshan is chol chafotzim lo yishvava. Any activity that you engage in is not to be compared to Talmud Torah. The other one says chafotzecha, your activities, inference mitzvot are. So the Gemara introduced the difference. Can the mitzvah be performed by someone else or not? So we've had good discussion. We saw the last sugya and Rashi, where Rashi puts a little subjectivity in it. Just doesn't mean that anybody could have done the mitzvah, but if your presence at a levaya, at a chasana, would make a significant difference to the chatan and the kala and the family, you will provide a certain kavod by your presence. Rashi says that's to be a factor to be considered as well. Not just a cut and dry, can you perform the mitzvah or not? Yeah.
Could you go to the funeral and be fully in? You can. Depends what your disposition is.
If you feel I can make a contribution by dancing like a madman and be misameach chasan v'kala, I can understand that. If not, you came, you showed your face, you demonstrated the kavod, and now you have, you know. In fact, there's a famous story about Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Somebody saw him, he was making a siyum. He said, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, oh, very nice, making a siyum. He says, yeah. I've already made 6 siyumim. This is the one on the siyum that I just covered shas, waiting for the chasen and the kala to come down. Maybe the chasen to come down the aisle. I made a whole siyum of shas, waiting for the chasen and kala to come down. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Continue next of all. Just as an announcement time, there is a share next week, but then there'll be 2-week break. I will be in the Holy Land. Right.
So you're learning Mesek Yuhara right now?